Hey, everybody. As Tom mentioned, today's lesson is from Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. It's also known as the wisdom bestows well-being. Please follow along behind me on the screen. Now hear the reading. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them down on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a treat of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm trying to see who's in the booth. Is that Jennifer? Jennifer, put verse 3 up there. Verse 3. If you're many of you have a clock in your head that when the sermon starts, the clock begins. The clock has not started running yet, okay? So we're off the clock, okay? The clock will start in just a minute. Let love, this is a passage, when I was reading this proverb this past week, I just thought this passage was so lovely. Just read that silently to yourself. Now, one of the great things about wisdom literature, which is what Proverbs is it takes great truths and puts them into one sentence or one phrase. And that's why if you're memorizing Scripture, the Proverbs are a great place to go, because you can memorize a great truth, but in a short period of time. For many of us, that really helps. I'm not great at memorizing Scripture or anything, but I'm good at remembering things if I can see them. And so the great thing about this proverb is if you're memorizing it, you have to remember it's about two things. It's in the first line. What are the two things this is telling you to do? Let what? Love and faithfulness never leave you. So if you remember, it's love and faithfulness, and of course God wouldn't want you to leave those things. Then you've got the first line, let love and faithfulness never leave you. And then I find it, if I can picture it, so bind them around your neck. So, and I'll honestly, if I'm memorizing this, do this. Just put your hand right here. And kind of pat your neck. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Some of you are already taking your hand down. Keep your hand up. Bind them around your neck. Say that with me. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Just do that. Write them on the tablet of your heart. No, really, do this. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Good. That's nice. Well done. In the back row. Oh, she didn't do it. Let's do it again. Are you ready? Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It is hard to talk, and I know. I struggle too. So why am I telling you this? Because a friend of mine always says, the Bible that you have is the Bible that's in your head. You're going to have to make a million decisions every week, every month of your life. You have to make a lot of decisions. And what you want is a Bible that resides in your head. And the book is fantastic. I mean, I love it that I've got a Bible, and we're at a wonderful time where printed things are available. It's on your computer. In an instant, you can get to any Bible passage, essentially. But what's in my head is really the Bible that I carry. So let's say it again. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So what would your life be like if you would just memorize, maybe this is a passage you would memorize this week or your family would memorize this week. And you just start it that way. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So the clock is now about to start. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this passage and for all the wisdom that's in the scriptures. As we look at the Proverbs again today, we pray that you would inspire us just as you did those who originally wrote these things down. We pray your spirit would be here just as it was there. And I pray that it would bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to consider your truth. Let love and faithfulness never leave us. Bind them around our neck. Write them on the tablet of our hearts. And this we pray today in Christ's name. Amen. The sermon was really helped this week by one of our ministry interns, a college student, who was helping me with some of the slides. And I wasn't going to give her any credit, but I've got to. Because I'm trying to learn to be a good person. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. That'll make more sense here in a second. So we're talking, and one of the comments that Mackenzie made is she said, have you ever read those choose your own adventure books? And I had forgotten about choose your own adventure books. I remember one of our daughters at least reading these. Have you ever read choose your own adventure books? Have you read these? And the great thing about choose your own adventure is, along as you read the story, so as you're reading, you get to, like in this book, probably it's like, and then they set the course and they thought, should we go to planet X or planet Y? And when they cast off, and then what you do in the book is you, like if you choose X, you go to page 20 and you flip ahead and then the story starts again. And what it does is it teaches you decisions have consequences. Right? Make a different decision, you'll go on a different journey. So we choose X, planet X, and now we're off and we're to the land maybe where the dinosaurs are, as opposed to the land of the flesh-eating bacteria or whatever it might be, on page 30. And she said, when I read these books, I really loved them because she said I was kind of nerdy. And she said, I would read all the endings because I want to know where everything would take me. And she said, what I liked about it is the book was loopy. Like it would take you to page 20, and then it would say, and then they got out of the rocket ship, and they thought, I can go left or right. And if you go left, that goes to page 30. And if you go right, it goes back to page 4. It just always took you to a different place. And this is how life is. Life is like that. And so kids, there are kids among us, and we were hoping for that with this real message thing. What I want you all to know is that life is a lot like that. That in your journey on life, in the Bible, Proverbs talks about life as a journey. It talks about making your way straight. And so I'm going to illustrate this. So I'm going to put it on the camera so that you can see it. Because honestly, when I draw things, people are usually stunned. And they say, that is something. One guy even said, he said, that's something like art when you draw. Not much like, but something like. And there it is. Okay. So you're on a journey, and you're going down the road. And so what you're going to find, kids, is that when you get on life's journey, your life is like this already. Some days you wake up, and you think, I just want to get from A, to Z. Let's make a Z, not an X. That'll be confusing. Make A to Z. And you say, wow, I can get right there. But life's not like that, because life, things happen. And like all of a sudden, you're going to Z over there, and then you hit a zone, and it's the river, and you think, oh, this is hard. I've got problems. And here's sharks. There's sharks in these waters. See them? There's sharks. All over. And those of you who are picky about your pictures, I even brought a little visual aid. So there are sharks. There are sharks in the water, right? And you think, oh, what am I going to do now? And there's a decision. And then you say, oh, I can't go that way. And I'm back this way. And then I get to this place where there's something else happens. And like I get into a traffic circle, just a loop, just round and round I go. You ever had indecision? Do I go this way or do that guy? And you realize after a while, this is no fun. I'm doing the same thing. And it's just taking me round and round. And finally, what the Bible says, you come to your senses. And you realize, this is no good. I got to do something different. And as you're going along, and you think, now it's going to be easy. I'll just get there. But then all of a sudden you find, woo, there's a place of danger, like Fox Mill Road for the squirrels when I drive to work. Honestly, I was driving to the church the other morning. It was early in the morning, and there were these two squirrels in such danger, and they would get halfway across, and then they'd stop, and they'd look at my car, and they'd go back across. But the other squirrel, he's like, no, I'm going for it. And he's going, and I'm like, ah, go! And that's going to happen to you, kids. And again, for those of you who are particular, there. And so, then you're going to keep, and life's going to have all these things that can happen to you. But eventually, if you do the right thing, The Bible teaches eventually you'll get to a place where it's all, you know, happy and the sunshine. Look, oh, I could use a different color. I just slapped. Look, the upside down smiley face. That's actually, look, if I do it that way, he's a frowny. So, there we go. All right. So, whoo, I'm out of breath. So the point is that your life is a choose your own adventure deal. And it's all going to be based on decisions you make. And that's true. It doesn't matter if you're the youngest person here or the oldest. That's equally true for all of us. So a big aspect of what the Bible talks about are decisions. And helping us make decisions that lead to good places. Because what God knows about us is sometimes we make choices that bring us tremendous pain. Tremendous pain. Sometimes we make choices that bring us a little pain. Sometimes we make choices and prove we are a pain. But the point is that everything is about, well, many things are about decisions. And one of the great movies that teaches this same principle is a movie, or the Toy Story movies. Now, raise your hand if you've ever seen one of the Toy Story films. Okay, so most of us have. And if you haven't, really, go rent a film. I mean, you should do this. And don't say, well, it's a kid's movie. It's really, they're fun films, and they're just good. They're good stuff. So the Toy Story films are about a kid named Andy, and he's got these toys. And you quickly learn that the toys, when humans are not in the room, have their own life. And their biggest thing that toys want to do is be played with by kids. They just love being played with. And so they're trying to always figure out, how can we get played with more, you know? And so that's sort of the outline. Well, and by the time we get to Toy Story 3, Andy has grown up. You've seen Andy in Toy Story 1 and 2, and he's getting older. But in Toy Story 3, he's in college now. He's on his way to college. Now, boys and girls, you don't know this, but Andy has the conflict that you're going to have one day in your life, which is this. Even now, as you sit here, some of you are only this tall, but your mother is already making plans for your bedroom. Okay? And they don't, and only your pastor would be dishonest with you. Your parents will never be dishonest. But your parents are waiting for you to leave so that they can turn your room into like an exercise room or a study or a guest room. And that's how life works. And they will say it in different ways. They'll say, we're ready for you to take your wings and fly. But really they're thinking, guest room. And so that's what happens to Andy. Now you can talk to your parents about this later and discuss it. But that's all I'm going to give you. So the point is that Andy's mom comes to him and says, Andy, you're going to college. You must clean out your room. Honestly, I had a mom who came up to me after last service like, I can't believe you said that. My daughter's leaving in a few weeks. I just saw it. It's okay. It was a little joke. So the point is, Andy's going to college. Andy, in this movie, there are two primary toys. There's Woody. And Woody is just fantastic. Woody is so nice. And he's sort of the leader of Andy's toys. Woody's dependable. He tends to try to do the right thing unless he sort of gets sideways. And then he comes around eventually. And then there's another guy named Lotso. And Lotso, doesn't Lotso look nice? Doesn't Lotso look like a nice bear? Yeah? Lotso's a bad bear. Honestly, Lotso is an angry, sort of self-hating, self-centered person, or bear, that is. And Lotso is a tyrant. He runs the toys at the daycare with an iron fist. And you really discover this, that Lotso sounds good, but he's bad. Bad bear. And so Woody and Lotso are the main characters of this. And at the point of the clip that I'm about to show you, and the clip's a little dark. I'm sorry for that. We just couldn't. We did our best. But in this clip, Woody and all his friends and Lotso have ended up in the garbage truck, which is bad for a toy. That's like the worst thing a toy can have happen to it. And they're taken to the dump. And when they get to the dump, they're pushed into the bin, the conveyor belt that's taking them to a very bad place. And you're going to see the difference between Woody on the one hand and Lotso on the other. So look at the clip.
Thank you, Sheriff. We're all in this together. Right, guys? Guys?
Woody! Down here! Woody!
Woody, look! I can see daylight! We're gonna be okay! I don't think that's daylight.
Help me!
No, honestly, wasn't your heart racing just for a moment, seriously? And then, like, ah, it's fantastic. I don't even know what we're talking about. Woody and Lotso. Why are they so different? They're so different. Woody would have never run off like that. Why are they so different? It's just choices. Lotso's been on a track making a certain set of choices for a long time, and it's just become who he is. He is the kind of person who will desert you. Woody's making has made a set of choices for a long time, and he's the kind of guy who will stick with you. And the claw, what was that about? Why rescued by the claw? Because you know what these movies sort of say is that if you do the right thing, over time, good things tend to come your way. Now, what I didn't show you is that you know where Lotso ends up? Strapped to the front of a garbage truck. Which is to say, if you do the wrong things, over time, eventually that catches up to you too. But Woody's been nice to the pizza space aliens. And so they rescue him and his friends. And so the interesting thing is the Bible, Proverbs, the wisdom tradition, it kind of teaches that same story. It says, if you make the right decisions over time, in the end, good things kind of happen to you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to ever get thrown into the garbage dump. It doesn't mean that you're never going to get scrapes and bruises. It just means that in general, if you want good things to happen, you have to make good decisions. And if you don't make good decisions, there are consequences to that too. And so this wisdom literature, it's all geared towards trying to make us, and I've been trying to think of a really good, really clever way to say this, something that you go, yes, Tom, that was insightful. And so here's what I came up with. Well, you know what wisdom literature is trying to do? It's trying to help us become, you ready for this? This is the kind of insight you're going to get here week after week. It's trying to help us to become good people. I know. And I want to say something. That is underrated in our society right now. But it's incredibly important. Just by the end of your life, you just want to end up being a good person. Just a good person. That's sort of the essence of it. Now, you can find that in verse 1 of Proverbs 3. Because God's trying to get us there. And so it says, my son, you could put in here, my daughter, do not forget my teaching. But keep my commands in your heart, for they will what? Prolong your life many years and bring you what? Peace and prosperity. Now, don't think of prosperity here like gross wealth. No one in Israel would have thought of prosperity as huge wealth. It's just a sense of, in general, do we have the things that we need? Are we prosperous? And is our life significant? Does it matter? Does it count for something? Am I prosperous? And do I have peace? That word is this Hebrew word, hesed, which is the word that we translate shalom. And it means well-being. It means how are things? Things are good. Life's good. And so, hey, there's a whole t-shirt line, right? Life is good. It's that idea of the basics of life. And what this teaches us is that if we'll stick to doing things God's way, then eventually good things happen to us. And these things were taught in three places. They were taught in your home. So there was an intentional structure from the youngest child to the great-grandparent. They all lived together. They taught the same things. Like, here's how we're going to do business. We're going to have fair weights and measurements. Here's how we're going to live. We're going to guard our tongue. We're going to... a kind word turns away wrath. Is a proverb. So we're going to live that way. We're going to use kind words. We're going to be fair to one another when we're in our interactions. We're going to tell the truth to one another, because if we don't have truth telling here in our home, it's just all going to be hard. We're going just on and on. The proverbs teach everything from how to do business to how do you live your life in a relationship. And then they would have also taught these with famous rabbis like Ben Sira in the second century. They had these rabbinic schools that you would go to. You'd send your, like a boarding school, and the rabbi would teach wisdom. And then they had these same schools in the palace, so that from the government official at the top end and the young prince that was being trained to be the king to anyone in their home, all that was the same lessons of wisdom were being taught to everybody. Imagine if our society had that level of vertical alignment, where everybody was taught basically the same thing, how interesting life would become. In fact, how much easier life would be if we all assumed we were on the same page. When you went and made a contract with somebody's business, or when you went and did your work wherever you are, and just think about that. In your home, think how your home would be. And before you start thinking, I know what some of you are going, well, that's the problem with America today. Not teaching this stuff in the schools and the government. No, just stop. Ask yourself this. In my home, is this being taught? Before we get on to the government and the school and all that, and this question, is this being taught? Am I teaching my children, am I teaching myself this wisdom? In your home right now, does your family know the Ten Commandments? Just an example. If you've got kids, do your kids, if they're of a certain age, can they say the Lord's Prayer? Hey, and can I just tell you that entropy sets in? You know, that movement towards disarray. My youngest child, I'm realizing I've got to do a better job with my youngest child, because my oldest knew more at her age than my youngest does right now. And that's because there's such a gap of age. And I am not being attentive as I should be. And I maybe, you know, I'd like to just blame the pastor and say, you know, it's the dumb church's fault, you know, right? But there I am. So here's my thing. Before you start saying about the church or the pastor, let me ask you this. Are you teaching this in your homes? Proverbs are a wonderful place to start. If you just read one a day, there's going to be a passage or two. So it says, and so the point is, if we can all get on the same page with our values, that affects our decisions. And listen, one of the great things that it teaches is verse 3, let love and faithfulness, read it with me, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And see, if you would have that, imagine your home, because there are just two things this is teaching. The first is what? Love. The second is what? Faithfulness. So love, imagine what your home is like when love's there. Oh, the old hymn, happy the home when love is there. Right? I mean, when love is, you know what, love's kind of everything. Love's the deal. Jesus, they said to Jesus one time, what's the greatest commandment? They had all that, all the scrolls. I can just picture them bringing the scrolls up to Jesus saying, hey, you know, you got the whole thing here. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, oh, it's easy. Yeah, I know this one. Love what? The Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then he goes, hey, you want to know the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, upon these, all of the law rests. So the thing that's undergirding this whole book, according to Jesus, is love. It's true in your home, isn't it? Aren't your best days the days where people are just loving? I had a fabulous day yesterday. My daughter's home from college. She's sitting out there right now. Didn't we have a nice day yesterday? We were awesome. Seriously, other people should have joined us because we were so nice. And you know, as a family, not every day is Mr. Nice Day, right? Is that true in your home? But when love is there, and it was Karen's birthday yesterday, and we had a little birthday celebration, and that was fun. And she was happy, and Catherine had thought of a great restaurant to take her, and I bought her a fabulous gift, I'm just saying. Because her friend, who's also sitting out there, had given her a suggestion, and I overheard it, and I thought, ah, that's a good one. Love. Love, just everything. It's the answer, as the song says. Love's the answer. They said, Paul said, listen, you can be so eloquent that you have the voice of angels. You can have all knowledge so as to know all things and be able to predict the future. You can have all faith so as to move mountains. But if you have not love, you have what? Nothing. You have nothing if you don't have love. John said, you want the epitome of love? It's in Jesus, because he laid down his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, who laid down his life for his friends. And then Jesus, you remember him saying, As I have loved you, so you must now love each other. And so the proverb is saying that the beginning of wisdom is when we choose to live God's way, which is to use our thoughts, our voice, and our mind and our actions all bundled in love. But then there's this second word. Oh, by the way, when love is absent, we're horrible. Did you hear the story about Karen Klein, who was a middle school bus monitor? And a couple months ago, a group of middle school kids gathered around her on the bus and taunted her. And one of them, in an act of singular stupidity, videotaped it on, I guess, his phone. And you can see her. I'm not going to show the clip because it's so painful to watch. And frankly, I don't want to show it to kids. It was so absent of love. And they taunted her about her looks, her weight. They called her a troll. And they said to her, they said, your family's all left you because nobody wants to be around you because you're so ugly and so horrible. And she was in tears, and she had a son who had taken his life 10 years earlier. And so you can just imagine how that just stung. And these, I think they were boys, they're just absent of love. And you know what? When people are absent of love, we become something less than humans. Something less than human. Now, the opposite is also true, because somebody out there, I guess one of the kids must have put this on YouTube, and it got over 2 million hits. And people watch it, and somebody said, this is so abominable. Let's send this woman on a vacation. She needs to get away. So, I mean, do something nice for her. And he had a goal for $5,000. Let's send her on a vacation, $5,000. And do you know $5,000? And do you know how much money came in as of recently? Anybody know the number? $650,000. Whoa, Jack. Hey, you know what Karen's not going to be doing next year? She's not going to be riding the school bus. No. Hey, because when love is present, miracles happen. See, that's how powerful it is. When love is absent, we are something that is not human. When love is present, miracles take place. And so the Bible says, listen, let love and what? Faithfulness never leave you. Hey, what if you taught that in your home in such a way that everybody remembered it in the split moment when they had to make decisions about what was coming out of their mouth? My home would benefit from this proverb. My life would benefit if that resided in my head. Let love and faithfulness what? Never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, the second word there is what? Not love, but faithfulness. And faithfulness here is not like be faithful to the other person. And that's in there. But what it's really about is being faithful to God. It's a reference to the importance of one's standing under God's strength and submitting ourselves to God. And there's another verse just a few verses later. And when you read the Proverbs, they jump around a little bit. Like verse 3 may not be connected to verse 4, but it might be connected to verse 5. That's just, I don't know why. That's just how. And so faithfulness here is in this. Trust in the what? Lord. With how much of your heart? All your heart. And lean not on what? Your own understanding. So I want you to read this with me, but let's emphasize the word all and not. All and not. You're going to say that a little bit louder. You ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Yeah, the own kind of does it on its own. And what the proverb is saying is, look, don't trust yourself. Trust God's wisdom. You've got the inspired word of God. People are like, God never speaks to me. Open the book, buddy. And God will start speaking to you all over the place. I feel lonely for God. I feel like God never talks. Open the book. Trust in it. So kids, when your parents come to you and they say, hey, let's read a chapter of the Bible tonight. Don't give them the, I don't want to do that. Why? Because they're trying to keep you from being a horrible, terrible person. They're trying to help you learn to grow up, to be wise, to be somebody that somebody respects, who does the right thing, who speaks with gracious words, and that'll change your life. That'll change the course of your life. You know, this was so important in Israeli culture, even today. In this, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding. You can connect that back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 that says this. It says, Deuteronomy 6, there you go. Talk about them. This is about the commandments, the wisdom of the Bible. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you what? Lie down, and when you Get up. That's kind of like all the time. Then it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And so even today, if you go to Israel, or even here, especially in metropolitan areas where there's a contingency of Orthodox Jews, you'll find Orthodox Jewish men will often sometimes do this. You'll see during the day. Now, this guy's on the subway, but it's a certain time of day. And so he has tied on his forehead. Look on his forehead. There's a little box that's on his forehead. Do you see it? It's sort of sticking out there. And then look on his forearm right here. And on his forearm, he's tied this device. And this is in honor of Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 8. Those boxes are called phylacteries. The phylactery is where the word of God is stored, often on a small scroll. And so at a certain time of day, you'll see a Jewish man. If you go to the Western Wall in Israel, in Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, you'll see Orthodox Jewish men will often put these on at that time. And the idea in biblical times was that you would take this with you during the day. And if you had a break from work, you've been working, like yesterday was horrible. Amen? Was it not horrible yesterday where you lived? I don't know if you heard, but it was hot yesterday. You may have heard that on the news. But you're like, oh, I got to take a break. When they would take a break, they would pull this thing out and they would read it and they would begin to memorize it so that the word of God could reside on their hearts. Because the Bible that you've got is the one that's here, not the one that's here. Now imagine a culture that's built that way. And let me ask you, what are you building into the culture of your life? Because what Proverbs says is, if we will let love, it says, let love and faithfulness never forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the scroll of your heart. Verse 4 says this, if you'll do that, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humanity. But see, that's not the goal. That's not the prize. That's just what tends to happen. So it's not that we do it because I want that good name. I want to be exalted. No. It's just that if you live a certain way, at the end of your time, people look at your life and they go, wow, that was a life well lived. That was a woman who did it right. That was a guy who knew things. And again, a great, if you want to see this in cartoon life, you go to the end of Toy Story 3. And at the end of Toy Story 3, Andy has to clean out his room for reasons mentioned earlier. And he doesn't know what to do with the toys. Is he going to put them in the attic in 105 degree heat every day and let them sweat it out up there? Is he going to take Woody to college? He kind of pulls Woody out because Woody's been his best friend, best toy friend, I guess. And so what's he going to do? And he finally decides on his way to college, he decides there's a little girl down the street and he's going to give her the toys, which is like the best ending ever. And so here it is. That's Andy giving the toys to this little girl.
This is Jessie, the roughest, toughest cowgirl in the whole West. She loves critters, but none more than her best pal, Bullseye.
Yeehaw!
Here. Now Slinky here is as loyal as any dog you could want. And Ham? He'll keep your money safe. But he's also one of the most dastardly villains of all time.
Evil Dr. Porkchop!
And this is Buzz Lightyear, the coolest toy ever. Look, he can fly. Oh, and shoot lasers. He's sworn to protect the galaxy from the evil Emperor Zurg. Got a promise to take good care of these guys. They mean a lot to me.
My cowboy!
Woody? What's he doing in there?
You're the snake in my boot.
been my pal for as long as I can remember. He's brave, like a cowboy should be, and kind and smart. But the thing that makes Woody special is he'll never give up on you. Ever. He'll be there for you, no matter what. You think you can take care of him for me? Okay, then. Oh, no! Dr. Porkchop's attacking the haunted bakery!
Come on, doesn't that get you? So, I was kind of stuck on the sermon this week, and our intern, Mackenzie, I may have been whining a little bit about it, possibly. Like, I can't get started. And I had chosen these clips already. And Mackenzie says, you know, when he describes Woody, he's brave and kind and smart, and he'll never give up on you, and he'll always be there for you. Okay, get this. She goes, that's like God. And I'm going, I'm writing that down and you're getting no credit whatsoever. But I'm trying to be, you know, good. And so I wanted to give her credit where it's due. And just think about your life. What would it be like if when it got towards the end of your time, you're kind of gathered up with your friends, your closest friends, your family, the people that knew you the best, and they just looked at you and they said, wow, she was good. She was a good person. Wow, he was dependable. He's there for you. Wow, she was brave and kind and smart. And they wouldn't be describing you. They'd be describing what God had done in you. Because you had never let love and faithfulness forsake you. You tied them like a necklace around your neck. You wrote them on the tablet of your heart. And over time, that just changed your path. And rather than living this loopy life, crazy loopy life, soon your paths were straight. And you just moved from where you started to where you wanted to go. And this faithful God who, even when we get off track a little bit, just ushers us back to where we should be. What if that was your story? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the scroll of your heart. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, the unity of the Godhead is found in your character, in your being, in your goodness. Help us, Lord, to be as you are. Help us, Lord, to grow in your image in such a way that over time we are people of wisdom, whether we are small or big, whether we are old or young. Help us, Lord, to walk in your paths that we might know your righteousness and be the people you long for us to be because you long for our joy. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as you're able and let's sing, Bind Us Together.